It is time now for This Week in the Lakeville Journal in the Setter Studio. Cynthia, hello.
Hello.
And you have the person that put together your nice Salisbury segment together with you, right?
Yes, Alexander Wilburn. Say hello.
Alexander, hello. And we have the big boss, Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. We'll go right to the front page of the Lakeville Journal.
And I'm going to be swift today because we have a big, beautiful compass and, the big, beautiful Discover Salisbury, so Alex and Janet can talk to them.
Okay. But, you know, however much we fit in, we fit in.
There you go, because buy the paper.
That's exactly right.
We try to highlight things, so we want people to buy the paper, gosh.
Right.
Otherwise, we all might as well just go home.
That's right. Okay.
That's good.
I mean, come on. Let's be serious about this. We're like promoting one another, so people view our what we have to offer. All right. I love the picture on the front page about the corn chopper, because I do all my corn now by cutting off one end of the corn, putting it in a microwave for 2.5 to 3 minutes. You take it out, you slide it out of the corn, and it's done perfectly.
Oh, nice.
And then back in the old days, look at that corn chopper.
Yeah, and I think that must be for silage, I believe they call it, for feeding to the cows. I don't think that's probably destined for your dinner table. But it's incredible. At the Connecticut Antique Machinery Association show, it's a finite number of old machines, and yet I feel like every year we feature a different kind of machine that we hadn't had before, and I'm pretty sure we've never had – like if you go, you always see the corn chopper, but I don't think we've ever had a photo, and certainly not one as beautiful as this by Lance Christensen.
All right.
And more at the back.
Housatonic students strike for the planet.
We had Shane Stanfill, who was an excellent summer intern this year, and then went off to hike to Hadrian's Wall in England with his father and had offered to cover some things at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and one of them was the climate walkout. They're all inspired by the 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, and they went out to just raise awareness and remind people that this is a serious problem in the world that they're going to inherit.
All right, hints and tips on how to make Medicare work best.
Definitely buy the paper to read this story, because Patrick Sullivan went to a talk by a very knowledgeable insurance person who had an aunt who kept having to navigate every year what the things she needed to know about and change in her Medicare application. The enrollment period is coming up, and also for Access Health CT. Really interesting tips, very specific in here. Definitely worth reading this article.
I'll tell you what, since I've been on Medicare Part A and B, and I got my own supplemental to go with it, mm-hmm. I think I spend a total of about $286 a month.
Yeah.
And I have complete coverage. Not a dime goes out of pocket.
Yeah.
And I think with the dental, it might be close to $300, but still, it's a bargain. It's a bargain.
And so you figured it out, too.
That's because for years, I was one of those people who went without insurance for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And when the Affordable Care Act came in, I was saved, thank goodness gracious. You got to take it seriously. You really do. Medicare is not just, okay, give me Part A, and we'll go from there.
They change it every year.
So. Talked about this a little earlier this week. The new Department of Transportation head came, and he got a lot of questions from the legislators.
The 21 Litchfield County TANs that make up the Northwest Hills Council of Governments. And I have to say, I admire Governor Lamont for not only coming himself to meet with the COG, but for sending his top commission heads and department heads. And there's a very funny column by Dick Aulis on the Viewpoint page this week where he's kind of taking to task some of these department heads for maybe not sharing enough. But they've been pretty open. And I would say maybe slightly disappointing that it was not discussed at that meeting, the ongoing topic of traffic control on the state highway that runs through Salisbury, where we've had so many bad accidents. But I believe that Curtis Rand, the first selectman, is working on that quietly.
All right. Nice story by Bernie Drew on Cornwall's mysterious terrell.
Right. So originally, of course, Nature's Notebook was about nature. And we've had a variety of different people writing it, from the iconic Charlotte Reed many years ago, who really would sort of say, the Mount Laurel is coming out, or, we're starting to see this animal or that animal. And she did an incredible job. Tim Abbott still does a lot more nature stuff. Bernie Drew has been writing Nature's Notebook, and he's, of course, a big hiker. And a very observant person, but he has really diverse interests. So he's writing lately about writers from the area, including Robert Terrell, who was a mystery writer who had multiple aliases that he wrote under. And I don't know if he's related to Jim Terrell from Cornwall, but
I would think he is. Yeah. I would think he would be. That's just a guess, even though I went just to school with Jim.
Right.
Then a chance for all of us to learn about our legal rights.
It's surprisingly interesting. The Ralph Nader Museum of Tort Law, the only one of its kind out in Winsted, and on October 5th, Saturday, they're going to have a full day of experts talking about tort law. And Noel Ambry called up Ralph Nader, who's always been really supportive of us as a newspaper company. And they chatted about what exactly tort law is and why it's the most essential law and why we should all know about it. So details on how to attend in Noel's article.
All right. As we go inside the paper, open up the page, there's a story about top-level consultants. Tips for entrepreneurs. First of all, you have to learn how to spell it, which for me
it's always hard. It's like hors d'oeuvres. That's one of those words.
I know.
So Rob Buccino went and covered a talk by Mark and Lauren Traeger, who are these extraordinary people. Mark Traeger was a consultant for really big companies like Pepsi and McDonald's, like really knows his stuff. And his wife, Lauren, was a teacher in, you know, inner city schools of New York. She's super tough. And the two of them are just this wonderful couple. And they kind of go around Salisbury. And every time they walk into a business, they go, they could do better. I can see how they can do better. So they're often offering it free advice to people. And so they did a talk at the library. And of course, many people who live up here are entrepreneurs. There's not that many places to get a job. So really good tips in the article. And of course, always interesting to hear Mark and Lauren, who are available to talk to you about your business.
All right. And a nice picture above the annual cleanup and greenup, the trail maintenance in Cornwall.
That's right. My friends Gary Steinkohl and his partner Casey Casey Cook have been organizing lots of stuff in Cornwall, including a cleanup day. Definitely something that all of our towns need, constant maintenance on trails and public spots.
I got a story about a home organizer. I laughed because I looked at my refrigerator the other day and I said, Jesus, this looks like a toxic waste site.
And Jesus. Don't eat that stuff. It's bad for you.
I spent like 5 hours cleaning out that and then the whole kitchen. So it's amazing how it can just get out of hand.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. My mother used to keep everything in the fridge. So I am so fanatical about cleaning out the fridge and the cupboards every week. And my daughter gets so mad. But so Jan Baltrush did a talk at the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon on organizing, and it's a series of three talks, and the next one is coming up this weekend. And she's going to be talking about downsizing, which is a very important topic for people around here. And then she'll be doing a third talk on November 17th about getting ready for the holidays, because we all have baskets and baskets of half-used wrapping paper rolls. And so she'll talk about – and, you know, it's really a psychological talk about letting things go. Yeah. Alex is nodding.
All right. And you've got a little story there about the blessing of the animals taking place at Christchurch Episcopal on Sunday.
There's a couple of them happening this weekend. There's one in Salisbury. I think there's one in Sharon.
And then a nice story on Ella Clark's retirement.
I feel like this is fake news. Ella is never going to retire. It's just a lie. But there was an official retirement ceremony. She's done so much for the town of Sharon. She's an extraordinary person. And it's just hard to imagine that she's not going to be – well, you know what? She's talking about learning Spanish and going south of the border. So I anticipate she's going to colonize an entire village and get everybody shipshape and living beautifully down there. So Maria Horn came and gave her a nice citation too.
And the Metcalf asphalt cases, we all knew this was going to happen, go back to court.
Right. And so we had an attorney who lives in Salisbury come in and actually give us a seminar on the complexity of this case, which is like the Lime Rock case. There's multiple suits going on in multiple places. But essentially what's happening is Metcalf and his group have fired a writ of mandamus asking the court to ask the Planning and Zoning Commission to either accept or reject their application for a permit. And if it's rejected, then they can appeal it, but they can't appeal it until it's been rejected. How complicated is that?
A couple of films coming up here on Friday and Sunday in Sharon on JFK, put on by the Sharon Democratic Town Committee.
That's right, fundraiser and a great opportunity to remember how amazing so many historic Democrats have been.
You know, I'm really proud of the Democrats in Sharon and the Republicans in Salisbury doing totally different type of community events as fundraisers.
Yeah, that was unexpected.
Well ahead of the campaign. It's just like the way it used to be many, many years ago.
Yep.
All right. The hearing in Kent closed on the convalescent home.
Right. The sober, not really a sober house, recovery center down the road from the High Watch Convalescent Center. And three hearings, very complex. I'd say the comments are consistent from the three hearings, and the commission will now decide. I think they probably have 60 days to decide And I think generally these commissions will go until the last possible minute to really think it through.
All right. And a couple of different stories in Sharon about old buildings telling tales, and also with the green all fixed up, and boy, next spring it should look really nice, making it easier to find and look better and run better.
Right. And, you know, they periodically update the signs in all of our towns. I remember when they were still like those wood posts that were kind of charming, but they kept degrading. So now they're going to put in reflective signs to help you find your way around better. And there was a tour of the Sharon Green and the buildings around it. And if you've never done one of these tours, it's fascinating because you look at it and you think, oh, those are nice houses. But really, it was the commercial center here. And those buildings had diverse and unexpected uses, such as a casino, a couple of schools, things like that.
All right. Cornwall. Knotweed, the railroad.
Yeah, the invasives is going on. So, it's interesting because there's two different approaches to this problem of the invasives, which is the railroad is coming in and they're just mass spraying, which is very bad and is killing all the trees around the railroad track. And then they're falling and dying and the town has to clean them up. So that's been an ongoing problem. Brian Oler helped introduce legislation about it. The railroad companies seem to be respecting it, but seems to not be any longer. But meanwhile, this invasive knotweed, which is the invasive of the year, it's really the most aggressive and is killing the other invasives, which is, I guess, good and bad. But it's getting a toehold in the town. Gravel bank, so they're talking about using Roundup there, but in a more responsible way, not broadcasting it.
All right, we're going to the opinion pages, and they're switched. It's not me. Viewpoints on the left and the opinions on the right. And I love the cartoon Peter Steiner did, not only the cartoon itself, but before you get to that, really to depict what's going on in Washington and with the Ukraine is a cat and mouse game.
Cat.
That's what's so classically
big
great.
Cat, yeah. Small mouse.
But still, it's a cat and mouse game, and this is just a great cartoon that amplifies that.
It is, and there's a lot to read in it. So read it and keep it because Peter's going away for a few weeks, so we will be bereft without him.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's great to have his cartoons and always right on.
Okay, and your viewpoint page goes from Carol Asher to Ralph Nader and Muffins and Measles Confused Commissioner.
Yes, I mean, and this is Dick Ollis, who knows a lot about state politics and the workings of our government and takes it on full force here. So do read this one. As Cynthia said, it is, depending upon your sense of humor, funny, but, also serious problems, but very interesting. And we editorialize once more about gun reform legislation. There was a conference out in Las Vegas this week that's ongoing, that all the other distractions in Washington should not distract us from this. So we write about that again. We have good letters from John Carter and Lynn Mattoon about the climate and Rob Buccino about an idea to improve road safety in Salisbury, and Mike Abram also on road safety, and in a nice letter from Tom Key from the Salisbury Association writing about Dark Hollow in Salisbury.
And, of course, turning back to pages, yes. My favorite this week, an onion weighing 3 pounds and 1 ounce was raised by Edward McLean on the Brinsey Place. All other vegetables raised by Mr. McLean were simply fine.
And they editorialized after that. Mr. McLean sure is some gardener. And yes, he certainly was. That was 100 years ago, and it's just great to see what they wrote about.
And I don't know if you're going to keep it, but I like having the editorial and the letters on that right page.
Well, you've said that before, and so that's great. And you know why we did it this time is because we were able to have color on that right-hand page. And Bernie Drew, who does this page, had some nice photos at very interesting-looking photo of a tiger swallowtail that his wife Donna took, and we had the, you'll see, illustration of Rob Buccino's letter. So, that happens periodically, and we might keep it that way.
All right, and if you flip the page over, you want color, you've got the annual Fall Fest and lots of different color pictures.
Right, and it's a special kind of fall festival at the Connecticut Antique Machinery Association show on Route 7 in Kent, where they power down all their ancient steam-powered engines there, and it's always a huge turnout, people selling tag sale items. Every single person at our office has looked at one of the photos and said, are those like some kind of fancy plate that they've got old dirty screws on? But that's the way it goes. But beautiful photos by Lance Christensen.
All right. And now we will go. I've actually reserved. We've got just 6 minutes here to talk about Compass and to Discover Salisbury. So we'll start off with Compass.
Great, because we have a wonderful review from Emily Gates on John Ashley's photographs at the D.M. Hunt Library in Falls Village. That front page photo is just striking, inspired by Japanese Edo period folding screens. And do read and do go see this exhibit. Just wonderful, just fascinating. Carl Salader writes about 4D Heart at Standard Space in Sharon. Marcin Epworth writes about the show Cabaret, which is down at the Sherman Playhouse, and certainly talks us into thinking that would be a great night out. But then we have a double-page spread on the American Mural Project's gala, and it was a fashion show made with recycled materials. These photos are just amazing. What creativity, so much fun these folks had. We were lucky to have Deb Alexinis go for us and cover it. We have Patter Perfect Pinafore coming up at the Sharon Playhouse this weekend. Don't miss that. C.B. Wismore writes about what the Jews believe at the Berkshire Theater Group. Planting peonies. When you see the photo of that peony, you'll think, yeah, I'm going to do that. And Fred Baumgarten writes about the new season, Close Encounters with Music. Lots in calendar, too. So lots to do around here this weekend, next weekend, and on.
Now, it caught my attention. I love the front of the Discover Salisbury, Connecticut insert that you have here, the special section. But what's nice about it is we're going to a time of year where there's autumn colors, and every color that's on that on your opening the glossy page, every color is an autumn color on there. It's a real nice way to introduce the segment.
Well, thank you. It's a lot of prints. It's a lot of colors. That is Lisa Foster and Ellen Hubbard of Nest. They have a workroom on Academy Street, and they're holding collage-making workshops. And their next event is this Sunday, actually, on October 6th. So go to their Instagram if you want to sign up and go. I went this summer, and it was really fun. It was a really nice group. And we made stuff that is ready to be framed. So you don't walk away with something that's sort of dinky and crafty. Something really, really nice, actually. Also in here, we paid tribute to two residents who passed this year. C.B. Wismore wrote about the actor Rip Torn, and Cynthia wrote about Bullet Sherwood. Patty Rossback did her Century Ride, which is actually her second Century Ride. A Century Ride is a dressage qualifier where the combined ages of the rider and the horse have to add up to 100. Patty and her horse actually made it to 101. Painter and former Hotchkiss and Indy Mountain School teacher Marjorie Reed was honored by Salisbury Family Services. They do an award ceremony every 2 years. They've been Anne Day of Compass was actually one, Laura Linney, and Tom Blagden, who's an alum of the Hotchkiss School, has moved back to Salisbury, and he has a really spectacular installation that's going to hang for the next 2 years in the entryway of the main building of the school. And they are mural-sized prints of his photographs of the campus. And there's lots more in here, so pick it up and check it out.
You know what's great about looking as you sound through this? First of all, you forgot two of the more interesting personalities with Bullet and Rip Torn passing away. When you think about it, putting it together, I mean, they were incredibly influential in their effect, not only with us here locally, but with Rip Torn internationally. But
completely,
such characters too.
Good characters. I mean, yeah. a little off the deep end at sometimes. But you know what? That's what makes people characters. I mean, right. That's what makes personalities. But also, as I thumb through this, and this is what I think we forget where we live. The pictures that you put in here, Alexandra, of Lakeville Lake, the end of the summer, but also. A nice story here, by the way, on Sweet Williams. But the other pictures that are in here really are really nice. And this whole supplement is
really a beautiful issue.
It's a beautiful supplement.
Thank you.
And it's what's nice about it, especially with the glossy and the cover, you can keep it around your house now, and it can actually go on a coffee table and become a coffee table book until you come out with your next segment like that. That's what's really nice.
Right, and it's useful for people in Salisbury, too, because we do have the resource list for all the vital services in Salisbury. And I would love to throw in here, please support the advertisers, of course, in all our publications, but in Discover Salisbury. We're so grateful that they are willing to support this publication. It's the only reason we can do it.
Well, that's what we laughed a little bit in the beginning, but the Lakeville Journal and Robin Hood Radio and the Robin Hood Radio Network would not exist. I mean, sure, we do get some donations and we do get some grants, but we wouldn't exist without the support of the local underwriters and the underwriting. And the Lakeville Journal is the same way. If you want to have a local newspaper, you're going to have to support it not only by buying it and reading it, but as a business, support it by placing ads, because it costs a lot of money to do this stuff. I don't think people realize what it costs to operate these businesses to provide news and information to the area. I don't think people have any idea.
I would go so far as to say they don't have a clue.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Right.
So it's really important to get that support. Well, I think, once again, great job once again. We will see you guys in a week.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. The Lakeville Journal is available online, tricornernews.com, also on Facebook and also on Instagram. And yes, folks, you can buy the paper. You can pick it up and hold it in your hands, or you can get it delivered to your house via mail.